guy who led a really great life, who invites us to mimic the way that but he's actually our Savior. He is Son of God who died on the cross, taking to the cross all of our sin, all of our guilt, all of our shame, all of our everything, and crucifying it so that we can God. But the truth is that we have been. So what does the new life look like? It looks like following Jesus. And so we start with the simple story, a story that probably any of you who grew up going to Sunday school remember from Sunday school. The calling of Jesus, of those first four disciples who were fishermen. They were out at the Sea of Galilee doing what fishermen do. And Jesus walks along and he says to them, drop everything, come with me and become fishers of men or fishers of people. He takes the image of going out and fishing for fish and he translates it into fishing for people. And what's amazing about this story, and this story is, we read what's in Matthew. Mark's gospel is almost exactly the same word for word. Luke's happens in a different environment, but it's the same thing. And in John's gospel, it happens in he sets it in a different context, but the same thing as well. What happens is, Jesus walks up and he says, follow me. And the person says, okay, leaves everything and off they go and follow. It's extraordinary. Now, in Matthew and Mark, there's no reason to think that anybody really knew who Jesus was. It wasn't like he'd been doing tons of miracles already and they'd heard about him and they were all excited because he picked them and they get to go with him. It was the beginning of everything. They didn't know anything about him yet. There were a few different interesting stories going on, but really they didn't know anything. What was it about Jesus that meant that when he said, follow me, they dropped everything and went? And Matthew tells us immediately they went. First, Andrew and Peter, immediately they dropped everything and they went. Then James and John, immediately they dropped everything and then they went. It's an extraordinary thing. They dropped their jobs. They dropped their livelihood. James and John dumped their dad. It's a good thing it's not Father's Day. This is not a very good Father's Day story. It's been nice helping you out, Pops, but do it by yourself from now on. We're heading off to find ourselves or something. I don't know. It's an incredible, extraordinary thing. We don't hear the stories of the calling of all 12 disciples, but we can imagine from these four that they were all probably very similar. That Jesus says, follow me, and immediately they left everything and followed. Now, the thing that I want to focus on is that to follow Jesus, they had to leave something else. If you're walking along this way and somebody over here says, follow me, you have to stop going that way and go this way. In order to choose one direction for your life, in order to choose to journey with this one person, you may have to not journey this way or not journey with the people over here. Now, there was nothing wrong with their jobs. There was nothing wrong with being fishermen. We often think that about Christianity, that following Jesus is simply about giving up the bad stuff in our life so that we can follow Jesus. And that's true. And some of us, when we decide that we're going to follow Christ, we have more bad things we have to give up than others. Some of us have gone our own way. One of the things I love about Giselle is that Giselle went her own way for a very long time, and it did nearly kill her. And she made the decision that that was not the way it was going to be anymore. So did she let go of all of that bad stuff in her life? Absolutely. But it doesn't end there. And I think especially for those of us who have spent most of our lives living in the church, going to Sunday school, being generally pretty good people, we tend to think, well, I'm following Christ just fine because there's nothing bad that's pulling me away. I haven't shoplifted in a while. I haven't killed anybody. You know, I'm not big into swearing. I haven't gossiped. I'm not a jerk, right? Like, we think about those things. I'm doing a pretty good job of following Jesus. But these stories about Peter and Andrew and James and John aren't stories. Like, this isn't the story about the tax collector who was ripping everybody off until Jesus came along and he said, okay, I'll stop ripping people off. This isn't the story of Mary Magdalene, the woman of somewhat ill repute, who said, okay, I'll stop being of ill repute and I will follow you. This is the story of four guys who were good guys. who were going about doing what they were supposed to do. They were caring for their families, taking on the family business. They were making ends meet, paying their bills. But they had to give it up to follow Jesus. So what's the message here? Is the message here you all need to go and quit your jobs tomorrow? No. that is not the message. But I do think it should cause us to pause and spend some time in some deep discerning about whether or not we are following Christ to the best that he calls us to follow. Because it's not just saying no to the bad and destructive things. This was a hard lesson for me to learn in my life. I don't have a problem saying no. Some of you are people pleasers and you don't say no to anybody ever, and you pay the price for that. Some of us don't have a problem saying no to things that we don't want to do. It's really easy. It's the simplest word in the English language, no. It's a very simple word. But it's harder to say no to good things. Things maybe you want to do and that aren't contrary to God. Things that are genuinely good kingdom-building things. And yet still sometimes to follow Jesus in this direction means we even have to say no to some of those things. Earlier when we welcomed Giselle into membership, we recognized that we all have gifts to give to the body of Christ. One of the things good church people do is they ignore what their gifts are and they look at what the needs of the church are and say, how many of those needs can I fill? And I think that we do a disservice to the kingdom of God, to the church, to ourselves, and to Jesus Christ himself. Because he hasn't called any one of us to fill all the needs in a church or in a community. He has given each one of us our own unique set of gifts. Gifts that come direct from the Holy Spirit. Gifts that get birthed in us when we walk through that crucifixion into our new life. We get these gifts. And Jesus says, use your gifts to follow me where I have called you. He says to the four guys, the four disciples, he says, follow me and I will still keep you fishers because that's where your talent is. But now you will be fishers of people. And so he says to some people, I've given you this great, great, beautiful voice. And I want you to use that to glorify me. Or I've given you this incredible skill with children, and I want you to use that for me. Or I've given you a mind and an intellect that thinks and that learns, and I want you to use that for me. And so what happens if the person who God is calling to pour into and to love children who have nobody else to love them is instead spending all of their time trying to figure out how to sing in church? You know, maybe they're okay at singing, but maybe that's not what it means to follow Jesus, right? This is what I mean when it says we have to give up some things, and not just the bad things. Following Jesus is about understanding where he has called you. Jesus didn't stand on a mountaintop and say to the crowds, hey, anybody want to follow me? Come this way. This is where we're going. He walked up to Andrew, one person, and he said, hey, Andrew, you follow me. This is where we're going. And then he said to Peter, you follow me, and to James and to John and all the other disciples. He's very individual. He says to us one-on-one. He seeks us one-on-one. You're for me, and I want you to follow me. And I am going to make you fishers of men. Now, I struggle with that phrase, I'm going to make you, because it sounds like all of a sudden something's forced upon us. It sounds almost a little bit abusive, and forgive me for those of you who for that is a shocking statement to make. But if I say to you, Grant, I'm going to make you do something. No, you're not. You know, what right do I have to make him? Now it's Jesus, granted, and so Jesus has more rights than I do and more authority than I do. But here's what it is. He doesn't say, I am going to make you do something. He says, I am going to make you into something. This is important. I'm going to make you into something. If you follow me, Andrew, I am going to make you into something. Into what? Into the new person he was intended to be all along. Into the person he would be if there was no sin, if there was no evil, if there was no broken relationship with Jesus, with God. If Jesus had healed all of that. That's what following means. Jesus says to each one of us, name by name by name, follow me and I will make you into. And then you fill in the blank there. What is it that Jesus wants to make you into? Because here's the thing, we aren't done. We aren't finished. We aren't complete packages yet. The beautiful thing is that on the one hand, we know that we have been perfected. We have been made holy. We are reconciled with God, but it's a work in progress. Jesus calls and he says, follow me and I will make you into something. I will make you into fishers of men. I will make you into worshipers extraordinaire. I will make you into disciples who change the world. I will make you into the best mom or dad you could possibly be. I will make you into. That's why we follow. And I'm sure that's why Peter and Andrew and James and John dropped everything immediately and followed. Because let's be honest, when we pause and we look at ourselves, no matter how good the rest of the world thinks you are, when we pause and we look at ourselves, we are aware that we have not arrived yet, aren't we? We are only too aware that we have a lot of work to do before we actually look like the holy people reconciled to God that Jesus says that we are. Follow me and I will make you into perfect and pure and holy disciples, people of character, people who exhibit the fruits of the Spirit, things like gentleness, kindness, self-control, and patience, all of these things, people who can read those words of Scripture that we started the service with and really feel that extraordinary joy and gratitude for a God who has saved us and who made us and who loves us. We are all called to follow. We're called first, right at the beginning, at some point in your life, Jesus called you and you responded or didn't. But even if you have been following Christ all of these years, the fact is that he keeps calling. He keeps calling out and saying, follow me and I will make you into. Follow me over here. I know you're going this way. That's a good direction. There's nothing that dishonors God about that. But I want you over here. So follow me over here. And the question that we're left with is, do we drop everything and follow? According to Matthew, immediately they left everything and followed.